Hello, is everybody still there?
Yep.
Yeah,
yep.
It came back with the thing about being recorded, and I knew.
Okay.
It must have gotten
overloaded
with too much information at once.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I guess. Hi. I thought I was going to have to enter the PIN in order to start the recording earlier, but I guess it just let me do it in the other order. So it is being recorded now. So I actually have not been writing down who's called in already. Let me see if I can. So let's heard Margaret and Don.
Yellow.
And Karen.
Mm-hmm.
And who else called in?
Brian's here.
And Brian.
Bora.
Bora.
Anna.
Anna.
Caroline.
Caroline, okay. You were the one from Florida, right?
Correct.
Okay. I thought I heard somebody from Florida, but I couldn't remember his name.
Yeah, I'm connected through Marion Grogan of Turk.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
Okay, great. Okay. Okay, so why don't we get started? Are there any announcements of ongoing activities or things people are involved with that they'd like to share with everybody in any area?
We've been recommended for funding. Don't have the official word yet on Marcellus Shale education grant for doing professional development for cooperative extension agents in New York, Pennsylvania, and West Virginia, and folks in small museums like ours for helping the community understand the science of the Marcellus Shale and extracting natural gas from it.
Great.
Great.
Yeah. And what program was this through?
Good question. ISE, I believe. Is that right? No. We have so many grants floating around right now. Keep track of it. I'll get back to you on that next week.
Yeah, all right.
I think it's through NSF, though.
It is NSF.
It is NSF, but you're not sure which program. I heard from one person that they got... Who's it that just called in?
Louise Huffman.
Hi, Louise.
Hey, how are you?
Okay. I've heard from one person that they are being funded under the NASA program. But that's it. I've not heard from anybody else. I don't know. Had anybody else had proposals into that?
For which program? Sorry, you got...
NASA Global Climate Change Education.
Oh, we just got notified that we didn't get funded.
Okay.
But I got the list of people who did.
Oh, okay.
I just looked at it.
How many projects got funded?
Just a second. Okay, how many? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, looks like.
15 new projects, good.
Can you send
Do you have that in soft copy?
Yes, I do.
I would be interested in seeing the list.
Yep. Need to mail it to you or to everybody? Everybody want it?
Everybody.
Does yep. Okay, send
everybody.
It to everybody.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so are any other announcements? I know I'll be going to South Africa this following weekend. A number of us are going to be participating in the International Geoscience Education Conference in Johannesburg. And we're actually in we also have a sequence of talks in a strand called Difficult to Teach Geoscience Topics.
Hmm.
So that should be
and how to teach them, or just the list to the topics?
No, we have taught. Well, my abstract is about the Earth Labs project and how that supports students' understanding of getting a better handle on the Earth as a system, the interacting components of the different Earth components of the Earth system, and about students understanding change over time on multiple and embedded time scales. These are very complex issues for students to grasp, because obviously considering climate change on various timescales is just a hard concept, and that they're embedded just makes it more difficult. So that's what mine is. And then we have Susan Burr from the University of Colorado, who is, I don't know, do you know what her abstract is about? I think it's probably the ICE project, but I'm not 100% sure.
It is ICE, yeah.
Okay, do you have a sentence or so that describes that project?
It's a professional development program about climate change, and ICE stands for Inspiring Climate Change Education, ICCE, I think. And it's part of the NASA DCCE programs, and there was just a workshop here in Boulder at the end of June, a week-long training for teachers, and that was recorded on video and will be turned into online modules. So she's going to be talking about that, I assume.
Mm-hmm. And then I know Kathy Mandu from Carleton College is going to be speaking also. There was a number of us who were at the NASA GCCE meeting that decided to submit to this. So I think that'll be a good number of NASA GCCE projects represented there. So part of my talk will be, the part about the Earth system is funded by the NASA project. Part about change over time, that's funded by NSF, so mine's got multiple funding avenues. Mark, we were just talking about the talks that we're going to be given in South Africa, and I was mentioning Susan's, and Anna gave a couple sentence overview of what ICE is.
Great, thank you.
And this is Elaine, and I just missed the explanation of the South Africa event also. Just quickly, what is it that's convened?
Okay, it's the International Geoscience Education Conference. It actually happens once every 4 years in a different country. And a group of us that were actually at the NASA GCCEPI meeting decided we would all submit abstracts. And there's a strand there on difficult to teach concepts in geoscience. And so a number of us that have projects around climate change, climate literacy, are presenting in that strand. And the talks will actually be September 1st.
Thank you.
The ones I know about, anyway. The meeting's the 29th to the 3rd.
Have we talked in these calls about which presentations were accepted at the NAAA conference just for...
I think when they first came out, we did, but not everybody was on the phone. We can certainly revisit that, because I know that we submitted quite a number of coherent abstracts, so it would be worthwhile going through that. I don't know if people... I have a couple of abstracts on that myself. Who else on the phone is going to be presenting it? That's at the end of September.
Well, Don and Bora can each talk about their multi-presenter sessions.
Okay.
Yeah, this is Bora. Basically, there's one session that it's going to be Friday afternoon, and it's titled something along the lines of What Every Citizen Should Know, Environmental Literacy, and it's about seven of us. So it's myself and Frank and Mark and Don and some others, all basically giving short little introductions to the notion of environmental literacy, and then the climate literacy principles, ocean, atmospheric, earth science. Am I leaving something out? And Don, aren't you doing sort of the wrap-up, the synthesis at the end, the wrap-up.
Right.
Is this an hour-long session?
It's an hour and 20 minutes. So it's kind of one of those everybody gets about 8 minutes.
I see.
It's going to be keep it moving, but at least it introduces the fact that there are all of these different documents out there,
mm-hmm.
And in one form. And then I believe almost all of those, if not all of those, have individual, probably about 20-minute slots as part of something else. So
right.
mm-hmm. I know that mine is also part of a thing on energy with another component that has to do with the Earth systems.
Mine's actually a roundtable the day before, which is interesting.
Right. You know what might be worthwhile? I mean, we can continue that. The descriptions are very valuable. What we might consider doing is putting together a one-pager that identifies all the different talks that are related to this topic.
Yeah.
And at each of our talks, basically hand it out for the rest of it.
Yes, I think that's a very good idea.
Yeah.
But I think, this is Elaine again, I think that would also be helpful for those of us who aren't sure whether we're going to make the conference, but just to kind of know what happened with that, because that'll be a large group of people who will be moved forward a step through this, through the presentations.
Right. Okay, so Don, did you want to, you were starting to describe the one that you're doing?
Yeah, so I've got four things that I'm somehow involved in. One is what was just said, and its companion piece where I'm talking about synthesizing the pieces in an individual session, which actually comes before the other ones, I think. Doing a session on our NSF project and using virtual fieldwork for professional development and place-based education, and Karen and I are co-convening the federal funders panel, which has somebody standing in for Frank from NOAA. I don't remember who that is. We originally had Frank down, Jackie Olson from Environment Canada, David Campbell from NSF, Lynn Chambers from NASA, Karen and myself. Oh, and Karen Scott from EPA. And that's just the program officers talking about funding related to climate change education.
Great. And then Susan Burr is doing a 20-minute presentation on the Inspiring Climate Education Excellence Professional Development for Secondary Science Teachers. And that's scheduled for Thursday morning.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and this is Tamara. I have two. One is on my Earth Labs project, which again is similar to what I'm going to be presenting in South Africa on the these teaching change over time and Earth system science in the context of these Earth Labs modules, which are intended for as a high school capstone course, as a lab component to a high school course. And so I will be talking about the research around supporting students' understanding of those concepts and demonstrating the website and the activities that are involved in that. That's one. I believe that is I think I had 45 minutes for that. And then I have an hour and 20-minute session basically to talk about the Climate Literacy Network and the basically of what the network is doing and the projects that have offshoots of that, the Clean Pathway Project and the regional efforts. So those are the two that I'm involved with. So what I suggest is that you send me, for those of you that you have presentations, if you could send me the name of it and who's leading it and maybe one or two sentences about it, and I can compile it into a one-page document that we can refine over the next, over the next month before the meeting so that we can actually have a handout at each of the sessions so that people can see what the other related talks are.
That sounds great. And we might also put those at the exhibits for instance, NASA.
Right.
Right.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, we can actually ask them.
The agency tables, mm-hmm. yeah. Sounds good.
Okay, very good.
I just found the program information for Susan Burrs, and if other people have that program information, that might be consistent and make it easy for you, Tamara.
Okay, that'd be great. Yeah, if you send it to me the next few days, that would be much better, because I'm going to be gone for about 2 weeks in South Africa, and then it might get lost in emails. What I'll try to do, actually, is I'll post it on the teleconference site, the list. So then I'll suggest people look at it, and if their talk is missing from the list, then they can then tell me, and we can make sure we get everything in.
And just while we're doing this level of coordination, Bora, last week Louise said that she was not going to be able to come to the conference because of a conflict. I don't know whether she's in your group or not.
I don't know either, but I will look.
Yeah, sorry about that.
No problem.
Have you
notified NAAE that you won't be presenting?
Yes, I did.
Okay.
There's another session on an old list that I have is with Bob Myers, Lynn Blaney, and Teresa Schwerin.
Mm-hmm.
Is that something that anybody on the call knows about?
Well, I know two of those people pretty well, but I don't know what session they might have proposed.
It's a 45-minute traditional session called Innovative Professional Development for Teachers of K-12 Environmental and Geoscience Education.
Yeah, it's on the ASEA. I actually just saw Teresa last week at the ASEA meeting, which is what they'll be presenting about. It's the Earth System Science Education Alliance, which is...
I don't know anything more about it personally,
yeah.
But it should be on the list if it's related, I guess, is all I want to say.
Okay. Well, we can certainly add them, and I would inform them or make sure it's okay with them, but so that they know.
Do you want me to send you the little bit that I have here?
Yeah, that would be great.
All right. And then is Scott still going? Scott, are you on the call?
I believe he is planning to go.
In fact, I think he's involved
in a number of sessions. I'm pretty sure he's involved in a number.
He's listed on the What Every Citizen Should Know.
That's what I thought.
And I spoke to him at the boot camp, and he said that he was going.
Great.
So.
Yeah.
Okay.
Good.
Yeah, and also just a sort of peripherally related note, if you have questions about Buffalo things, I can answer those because the convention is 10 minutes from my house. So.
Okay. Maybe we need to schedule a little supplemental session.
There we go. I'm a Buffalo booster.
So, are there other things that people would like to share?
I looked and it's Geoscience Ed. Going back to
Geoscience Ed, okay.
Yeah, Geoscience Ed is the funder.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
So is Jill Carson the program officer?
Yes.
Okay, because I have an annual report for Geoscience Ed project that is due immediately. By the end of this month, actually.
Now that you mention it, for a different project.
Yeah. Okay, I just want to, as I've already told, I'm going to be in South Africa the next couple of weeks. We'll work out who will facilitate the call. If anybody on the phone would like to volunteer for the next two Tuesdays, that would be great. You can tell me later if you like. But as everybody knows, we changed phone numbers the last few weeks. Just to give some context to that, it was recording things each week was costing $6.50, and now we pay $14.50 a month, and we have the line anytime we want, not just this time, but anytime, and the recording is included in it. It's much cheaper. So that's why. But the only thing is that one person, and it doesn't matter who, has to sign in as an organizer, and then that person's responsible for starting the recording, which is just star nine. It's not a big deal. But and I'll for those people that are interested in facilitating occasionally, I'll just probably share those codes with them. So that we can continue to have our calls even when I'm not around. And we will start having presentations again in the fall. And there's a, on the website, if you go to the teleconference schedule, there's a kind of a growing list of potential talks. And I know some of you have contributed your names to that, and Marion will be getting in touch with you to schedule that through the fall. And if your name isn't there and you'd like to facilitate a discussion about some topic that you would either like input in or provide information for others about, you can schedule to facilitate one of the telecons.
Okay, this is Mark. I could do next week.
Okay, great.
That'll be the 24th, yeah?
Right. August 24th. Okay, great. Yeah. I'll give you the information to do that.
Okay.
The other thing that I'll let you know is we are in the Clean Pathway Project, are getting ready to start to share the review criteria for climate-related materials with everybody, and we've scheduled a webinar on the NASA Global Climate Change Education webinar schedule, and we will also schedule one on the Climate Literacy Network schedule so that everybody has the opportunity to hear about those, and then we'll make them so we'll point to the place where they'll be visible for everybody. And that will also occur in the fall. So is anybody else who the NSF CSEP winners are? I can tell you that I know two. As it turns out, a proposal that I put together for the NSF's DRK-12 solicitation, two of my, well, all five of us, all the co-PIs plus the evaluator are independent CSEP proposals, and two of those got funded.
Cool.
So we have very well built in partners already.
You got funded for a GK-12, or you got funded for the partnership, or both?
I didn't get funded for the partnership. It wasn't GK-12. It was DRK-12. It stands for Discovery Research K-12.
Okay.
And I will be getting funding for that. It's not completely through the pipeline yet, but it's recommended.
Great.
Which I'm told is just short of actually having the money, which it is. But, yes, it was pretty – we actually got questions on that proposal just before the CSEP proposals were due. And since five of us were working on independent ones, we sort of had to say, you're going to have to wait a few days, which worked out well. But so we'll have two partners who have been involved in the Climate Literacy Network. Karen McNeil at Mississippi State got funded for the Southeast United States. And actually, Margaret, you'd be interested in this. Karen, Julie Labarkin at Michigan State University, she's a co-PI and leading the learning science team for a CSEP around the Great Lakes.
Oh, great. Interesting.
So those are the two that I know of.
And then also Stephanie Furman and others at Columbia have been funded for one called POLAR, which is Polar Learning and Responding Climate Partnership. And it involves the Teachers College at Columbia, Barnard College, University of New Hampshire, University of Alaska at Fairbanks, the International Arctic Research Center, and the American Museum of Natural History.
Wow.
Oh, great. So that's another CSEP, right?
Yep.
Great. So we know three. Three out of 15.
I thought they were going to post it this week, like on August 16th. I had heard.
They might. I don't. So
yeah, I just looked
happened.
And it's not up there yet.
Yeah.
Okay, are there any other comments or questions or announcements of any kind or topics people would like to discuss?
I'm
I'm completely new to this, and I'm interested in the Climate Corps and what's happening with it and what's going on with it.
The Climate Corps?
Yeah, it's listed on the website of CleanNet, the Climate Literacy Network.
Yeah, I can speak a little bit to that. Who's asking the question?
My name is Kelly Simmons.
Are you in Boulder?
Yes.
Hi, Kelly. It's Mark McCaffrey.
Oh, hi, Mark.
So the Climate Corps is an idea that hasn't actually quite ever come into, hasn't fully gained traction. At one point, we had a proposal in through the Colorado Alliance for Environmental Education for a Colorado Climate Corps that would have been a summer training and trying to engage teachers around the state to then engage with their students.
Right.
And the funding was going to come from companies that were polluting and had to give money towards environmental education.
Right.
That was 2 years ago, and unfortunately never reached critical mass. Since then, Doug Cohen, who's a participant in the Climate Literacy Network, has been pursuing the concept as well through some of his youth leadership initiatives.
Okay.
But we just haven't found the right mix and the critical mass to make it happen. It's still a concept that we'd like to pursue, and of course there's the Alliance for Climate Education, or ACE, and then there's an Alliance for Energy Awareness or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and they're doing similar things of engaging youth. I think the focus we've had is more on the climate science side of the equation,
right,
whereas a lot of those other groups are more geared towards just getting students to become activists and push their parents and schools to reduce their carbon footprints and that sort of thing.
Well, I'm asking because I think, you know, I'm brand new to this, but when I look at the lay of the land, it looks like there's, you know, developing training and developing resources and developing curriculum for science teachers. But if you're a non-science teacher and you want to be involved either in your school or in your community, it just seems like it might be a little harder. And I just, you know that I'm working on my master's thesis, and I just finished creating an introduction to climate change and climate science for non-science teachers as a PowerPoint presentation. And I'm looking for ways to plug in. I mean, you know, I can do it as an exercise to get my master's degree, but it would be kind of nice to actually use it and go out and educate, you know, do some professional development for teachers. Obviously, if you're a science teacher, you have a much stronger background in the science of climate and weather, and there's so many, you guys at Cirrus do such a great job of training teachers, but if you're in civics or social studies or, you know, and you're wanting to be involved, you see it as a big issue and kids needing to be brought into awareness, how do you get involved? And it seems like Climate Corps is the perfect place, so that's why I was interested in what was going on.
We should definitely talk more about this. You know, since you're in Boulder, you and I can get together and brainstorm a little bit.
Okay.
May I jump in here? My name is Caroline Lewis. I'm an education consultant, but I come from 22 years as a school teacher and principal,
mm-hmm,
science and environmental science, and 7 years as director of education at the Botanic Garden. And I created that Fairchild Challenge program for exactly what you two were just talking about reaching the entire school, not just the science teachers,
right,
and really exciting them, and then giving the brighter ones the opportunity to dig into the current research of what these great people on the phone are doing and finding out and translating it for the public. And I tell you, I have engaged more than 250,000 inner city bunker schools and kids, and it's just very heartening. And I want to encourage you, the person doing the master's thesis,
mm-hmm,
to go for it. And that's exactly what we need to be doing, scaling up these initiatives outside of science to get people in. I mean,
yeah,
the arts is an incredible avenue, the
right,
civics and all of that. So that's my avenue right now.
And you mentioned something, the Fairchild, what was that?
The Fairchild Challenge. It's
the Fairchild
a
Challenge.
It's a high school program that's also now a middle school program that's also an elementary program, and it's scalable, replicable, transformative. And I want to do more of that. I want to find other programs that are working and figure out strategies to scale them up, because I got some formulas that worked and I want to test them in other grounds, you know?
Yeah. And is the Fairchild, is there a website for the Fairchild Challenge?
Yep. The FairchildChallenge.org should get you on. And if you look at the student showcases, you'll see some of the... We've been the broader impact for a lot of NSF grants for the university researchers.
Mm-hmm.
And we let them write some of the work for the kids so that we are linking that lay world with the scientific world and trying to help them help us translate the findings. So.
Right. And what's your name again?
I'm Caroline Lewis.
Caroline Lewis.
You have a website, carolinelewiseducation.com. You can find me there.
Education.com. Great. I'd love to email you. And
same here. And I'd love to hear, I mean, this is my first time, too. And
are you on the listserv? Did you, or did you hear this from somebody else?
I'm a friend of, well, I'm a friend of a friend of Munch Grogan from Turk, who, when I left my director of education job to scale up what I'm doing, put me in touch with Munch, and Munch put me in touch with you. So I'm just trying out to see if I fit this teleconference portal, and if you need me and I need you or whatever.
Right, and I was introduced to the listserv, and I've started getting emails through Mark McCaffrey, who I met him at the ICEE.
Let's take this off, you and me, because the rest of them are all listening.
Yeah.
Okay. I would encourage you to share the links, if you would, with the whole group, because I know a lot of other people would be interested. And, Kelly, maybe next week, if you're willing, you could share your PowerPoint with the group and talk a little bit about the master's thesis that you're working on and that sort of thing.
Yeah, I'd be happy to. I'd like to have you...
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I'm just a little reticent. I'm not sure it's good enough. But, you know, because it's very general, because it's an introduction. And, you know, in a master's thesis, in a certain number of pages, I did it's a 60-page PowerPoint presentation as an introduction to climate change for non-science teachers. And it includes dealing with controversy. It includes lesson ideas. It includes the science of climate and the science of climate change and what's going on. So it's very broad. And it's not super specific, but I'd be happy to show it to you if you'll be gentle on me.
Well, I mean, this is a friendly audience, and basically, it's an avenue for you to get input as well as for you to present. It's fine, I suppose, if you do it next week. But I've been trying to hold off doing presentations until September, when we have a larger group, because we tend to have during the school year, we tend to have 15 to 25 people on the phone.
But if you really prefer to do it
next week, you can do that.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I was just going to say that whenever we plan to do it, if it's next week, we can post your presentation so that on the website so that people can download it and look at it while you're talking.
Okay. Yeah.
All right. Maybe next week we'll just have a more general discussion. I'll be just returning from the American Renewable Energy Day in Aspen, where we're launching this climate and energy literacy initiative.
Good luck with that.
Have some things to report to the group on how that went and what next steps might emerge from that.
Is that at the Aspen Science Center or?
No, it's at the Aspen Institute and the Jerome Hotel.
Okay. Because my father's on the board of the Aspen Science Center.
Oh, great.
And
Yeah, this is part of our day, which is the American Renewable Energy Day.
Okay. Great.
So, Kelly, this is Margaret Mooney in Madison, Wisconsin. I just wanted to jump back to your thesis and working with non-science teachers.
Mm-hmm.
Here in Wisconsin, Steve Ackerman and I had an NSF grant to work with non-science teachers, and we did two workshops, and it was just a one-year thing, and it's done. But I do have a report I could send you
that
you might find useful.
I'd love to see it.
Well, I'd love to see that, too.
All right. Should I send it to everyone, and then you guys can delete it?
Why don't you go ahead and send it to the... You go ahead and send it to the list.
Okay.
Yeah, please.
So, it's a little... The report itself is only 3 pages long, but I have all the attachments, like the... we had questionnaires and evaluations and notes from breakout sessions. So I think it's actually, 20-some pages or something. So sorry that it's a teeny bit big, but it's just a Word doc.
Okay, awesome.
So I'll send that out.
Okay.
Thank you. Well, that's all very exciting.
Good. Well, thanks for sharing what you're doing.
Thank you.
Okay, are there any other comments, questions, discussion?
So this is Margaret again. I just want to say that I am in a year-long challenge, my household is, to reduce our carbon footprint by 40% below the Madison average. We've had our first assessment, and we've gotten our report, and we are 22% below for water usage. We are already, you know, because it's an average. We are something like 14% below for gas and oil. I didn't tell you guys this, but we're like 60% above for electricity. So, room for improvement. So I'll keep you posted about how that goes.
Okay. What kind of things are you doing to reduce?
No,
to
we
reduce?
Just started. Now there's an assessment, you know. So we're writing down our odometers on our, you know, our vehicles, and we're weighing our trash. And we, you know, we had to hand our bills in, and they gave us a report, and they said, "Good job here, good job here. Here's where you guys better figure out what you're doing wrong," you know.
So who put forth the challenge?
It's a group in Madison called the Madison Environmental Group, and there's like five families, ranging from a single people to there's two families with kids. We have kids, and so we'll see how it goes. I'm going to probably start a discussion on the Climate Literacy Network about it. Not a discussion, you know, like a, not even a blog, but, you know, kind of keep track of what I'm doing.
You can do it, you can put it in the discussion thread.
Yeah, I'm going to. I'm going to start one now that I know a little bit, you know.
Okay, so, that's terrific.
Anyway.
This is Kelly. There's a similar organization here in Boulder that was a nonprofit that I think actually is, through lack of funding and loss of funding, has become defunct, and it was called the Greenheart Institute, and they would go in with trainers to communities and get, like, they worked with churches and they worked with small communities to get everybody on board about how to change. Their whole big thing was behavioral change.
Right.
And they have a, what's sort of left from, you know, the people who are still standing after loss of funding and those kinds of things is a way of taking all of your utility bills and doing an analysis and a comparison to community averages and national averages. And I you know, it costs $25. It's very simple to do, and you have your energy bills sent to them, and they do this whole, they get the square footage of your house and ask you a bunch of questions, and then they send it back to you with this whole analysis. And I did that about 4 months ago, and they said, "Oh, you're doing really great here, you're doing really great here, you're doing really great here." And one of the things that they said to me was, you know, your heat usage in the winter is really actually quite poor for the square footage of your house. We would expect it to be much lower, and you might want to take a look at that. And so I brought in a an insulation company to take a look at my house, because when I bought it, I was told, "Oh, there's insulation in the walls." Well, it turns out there wasn't. I've been living in the house for 8 years, and they said it was between 25% and 50% insulation in my walls, where they, like, blow it in with that shredded newspaper. So they came in and they did the whole house, and they got my ceiling to R60 from R30. And I'm really excited to see what this winter is going to do in terms of our, you know, our natural gas usage for our heat. Mm. It's been our biggest bill. And so, yeah, having that information and access to those types of analysis and support for changing behaviors is so amazing for making a difference.
Yeah, there's organizations. There's a Cool Rochester, coolrochester.org, I'm pretty sure is their URL, which is using David Gershon's low-carbon diet, which we're trying to get off the ground here in Buffalo, too, which is a similar idea. They get people from the community to form what they call eco-teams of four or five families who get together and try and reduce their carbon emissions and set some goal in thousands of tons for the community to lose. There's also a Cool Capital group, which is in D.C., that's also using Gershon's low-carbon diet.
A lot of grassroots efforts.
Yep.
Yeah. Mark, this is Laura Keisler. We have a program going on that offers a free PowerPoint and a number of excellent resources for the Midwest on energy efficiency. We're doing workshops basically on a county level right now, but we were offering resources to everyone. I can post that URL on the website.
Sounds good.
This is Karen Holwig. I'm about two-thirds of the way through my energy retrofit this summer, and I've just had a second energy audit, and my place is now tight.
Yay!
As well as well-insulated. But the other thing that I wanted to mention is how important all of these initiatives that you've all just mentioned are in terms of educating about energy efficiency. I was at a political event last month, and I asked our senator's pollster why the senator didn't talk more about energy efficiency, because there'd been so much talk about alternative energy sources.
Yeah.
And the answer was because nobody knows about it, because it polls terribly, and it's unimportant to his constituents. And I said, isn't there sort of a chicken and an egg thing here? How about having the senator talk more about the low-hanging fruit of energy efficiency? And he said, well, yeah, he could do that. And I said, so I went up to the senator.
You want to see? Yes.
I went up to the senator and I said, hey, Mark, you need to talk more about energy efficiency. Your pollster tells me that nobody knows about it and understands it. And furthermore, you need to vote for the Energy Star program. So if the local education stuff on efficiency is really important, because the alternative energy message is overwhelming it.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, may I encourage all of you who have started this great initiative to tell your story every time you get up to speak, no matter the audience, just a quick minute. Because the more they hear about these real people doing these real things that are making,
right,
the less disfamiliar they will be with it, you know.
Yeah,
so.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, just to piggyback on that senator, I started a nonprofit here in Boulder about 4 years ago, and we did educational courses for homeowners on all kinds of things, and the one class that I could not ever get anybody to sign up for was, you know, a homeowner's guide to energy efficiency.
This is Mark Udall I'm talking about.
Oh, interesting.
Oh, jeez.
Well, the irony of Mark Udall is that his wife, Maggie Fox, runs the Climate Project.
Right, for Al Gore et al.
Yeah.
Wow. That's disheartening.
Yeah. It's not that they don't know. It
right.
has to do with the politics and what's in.
Yeah, I mean, I ran into Udall on a plane once and gave him a copy of the climate literacy brochures, and he sent me back a nice note saying, keep up the good work, but meanwhile, he's stepping up himself.
Right. Darn. I guess the people do have to lead, don't they?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And the leaders will follow.
That's right.
Okay, well, thanks. I think that we've had a really interesting discussion about various activities that are going on at the local level, and it's really very encouraging to hear everybody sharing them. That's one of the powers we have here in our Telecon each week. So I appreciate everybody calling in.
Okay.
Thanks,
have a
Tamara.
Great time in Africa, Tamara.
All right,
yeah.
Thanks a lot.
Bye-bye.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Hello?
Hey, Tamara.